It is Troy with Rural Focus. Tom right now to kick in with Nick Steinsvag from Valenti Lawyers. Nick, good morning there to you, mate.
Morning, Troy. How are you?
Not bad. This morning, speaking about the Fair Work Legislation Amendment, which was just passed by the federal government recently. Claims in the Small Claims Court. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so this legislation, unless you've been sleeping under rocks, been the talk of the town. This, along with a sister legislation, the Anti-Discrimination and Human Rights Legislation Amendment, Respect at Work Bill, were both passed recently. And so they covered a variety of changes, in significant changes in the industrial relations in the country.
Yeah.
The first one introduced under this Secure Better Jobs, Better Pay Act is change or slight increase in the cap in Small Claims Court. So the Small Claims Court has always been around. It's a less technical process for employees than through the courts, but it's not the same strict rules of evidence, and the court has the ability to act informally, and it's really a process, a forum for employees to make claims for underpayment of their wages against their employers. Now, there was previously a cap of 20,000, so if you were claiming more than that, they had to go through the traditional court system, but that's been lifted to 100,000, which allows a lot more employees to bring their claims for far higher amounts. And it's also, one of the changes has also been to allow the court to award payment of the filing fees of the employee, which previously they couldn't do. So they'd be out of pocket their filing fee, and anything they got back from the court, they'd have to deduct essentially the amount they'd already paid for the filing fee. So that's been changed.
What about the changes to equal pay?
Yeah, so the major tenor of these changes has been addressing anti-discrimination and sexual harassment and gender and other types of equality in employees. And one of the main ones is addressing equal pay. The change they've implemented allows the Fair Work Commission to alter the minimum wage under a relevant award or an enterprise agreement or the Act on the basis of essentially undervaluing work due to gender. So that. Yep. Certain employees can apply for an adjustment of that minimum wage if it's there's been an undervaluation based on gender or one of these other metrics of discrimination. And a similar change that's also been introduced in relation to this concept of equal pay, although it applies to all employees, is prohibiting pay secrecy clauses. It's very common for employers to include in their employment contracts that employees are not allowed to discuss their pay or their salary or their wages with other employees. Those kind of clauses have now been prohibited, and that's effective immediately. So to the extent that any employment contracts contain those clauses are just immediately invalid and ineffective, and there'll actually be penalties for employers for including them in any new contracts entered into.
What about for, say, sexual harassment and anti-discrimination changes?
Yeah, so these were probably the main focus of these two bills, and there have been a lot of changes. Some of the most notable ones are introducing a positive duty, that is an obligation on employers to take all reasonable steps to prevent sexual harassment in their workplaces. The focus is really on preventing, not just addressing when it's taking place, but actually putting policies and procedures in place that and doing all things reasonable to prevent it happening in the first place. And so they could be very wide-ranging implications and wide-ranging obligations, and quite onerous in some cases, obligations on employers to do these things. They've also extended the protections for discrimination on the basis of gender identity and intersex status, as well as breastfeeding. So they've inserted some specific definitions of these concepts to make it clear that the existing anti-discrimination laws protect these concepts as well, or people from being discriminated on these basis as well. Some of the other changes they've introduced are including the ability to apply to the Fair Work Commission for orders to stop or prevent harassment or discrimination on these bases, and that includes sort of sexual harassment, but also to seek compensation. There have been some procedural changes about how sexual harassment and anti-discrimination claims are dealt with. And this includes things like being able to deal with multiple parties. So if there are multiple complaints, for example, by different people against a common offender, they can all be dealt with as one, and that just sort of is meant to ease the process or reduce the burden on those individual complainants. And also the ability to proceed to the court, which will usually be the Federal Circuit and Family Court of Australia, if it can't be resolved in the Fair Work Commission.
What about for flexible work arrangements?
So there's been a reversing of the onus in relation to flexible work arrangements. Previously, employees could make requests and then the employers would need to consider them. The change in onus is that employers now have certain obligations to meet with employees who request these flexible work arrangements, and the employer cannot refuse the request unless they've done certain things. And one of those is firstly discussing alternatives with the employees. So if they're not prepared to agree to the flexible work arrangement requested by the employees, they have to discuss reasonable alternatives. If after doing that they can't agree on acceptable arrangements, the employer has to demonstrate its reasonable business grounds for doing so, but also has to put in writing to the employee what kind of changes they are willing to make, or if they're not willing to make any, then they have to spell that out as well. So there's a bit of a change in onus of the obligations on the employer before they can make this refusal. It's not just at their discretion as much anymore. They've also introduced a dispute resolution mechanism for the first time in relation to this, which gives the Fair Work Commission the power to conciliate, so there can be a mediation, but the employee can make an application to the commission to have it mediated, and to even arbitrate, which is to make a binding decision that the employer is bound and has to follow in relation to flexible work arrangements for that employee. So they're pretty significant changes.
All right. Going from flexible work arrangements to fixed-term employment.
These have been the bane of several, certainly a lot of employees over a number of years, and these concepts of rolling fixed-term employment contracts. Acts have introduced certain prohibitions on fixed-term employment contracts in some cases. So a fixed-term employment contract of more than 2 years, or one that renews or extends more than two or more times, in some cases these are going to be prohibited. A whole host of circumstances that they are excluded from, and some which they apply, so your listers and employers would need to seek advice about that. But there's also been, in some cases, the introduction of those fixed-term contracts rolling or converting into a permanent employment contract if certain elements are met. So those are pretty significant changes in certain industries, and could impact a lot of small businesses, but also the larger ones.
All in all businesses should be taking the time to probably review and get some advice on all of this.
Absolutely. It's definitely a significant change in a lot of respects to businesses, and they should really be pausing and reflecting and ensuring that their employment contracts, not just fixed-term ones, but even ongoing employment contracts with their staff, comply with these new changes, particularly in relation to pay secrecy and equal pay, making sure that their fixed-term contracts don't breach any of these prohibitions. It's also very important that businesses review their discrimination and sexual harassment policies. Probably more importantly is what procedures they do actually have in place to prevent harassment discrimination, and their policies and procedures for dealing with flexible work arrangements and requests in that regard are going to be crucial as well. There were a lot of other significant changes that we won't cover today under these two acts, like abolishing the Australian Building and Construction Commission, and some significant changes in relation to enterprise bargaining and enterprise agreements, and also in relation to prohibitions on certain job advertisements and increasing family and domestic violence leave entitlements. But they're probably the topic for another day. It's definitely given rise to a lot of areas for thought, reflection and review for businesses, and they should definitely be taking the time to seek advice and making sure they're complying.
It's Nick Steinsvag, the Senior Associate with Valenti Lawyers, speaking about all the changes that did pass through federal government recently, a part of the Fair Work Legislation Amendment. Mate, you get a break over Chrissy? Does the big boss give you a break?
We never stop here in Valenti Lawyers. We're always available to assist anyone, Troy.
All right, so you can give the team there a phone call today. What's the best number to get you on there, mate?
It's on 089-224-6222.
Hey, mate, Merry Christmas to you and the family, to Kim and all the team there at Valenti Lawyers. Thanks for chatting with us through 2022, and we look forward to doing it next year, mate.
Thank you, Troy. Likewise to you and yours.